Well, a lot of good stuff's happened already today,
Lord,
huh?
We praise your Lord this morning. Let's give him glory this morning, church. Let's stand and give him glory. Be on our feet this morning before the King of Kings. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to his name forever and ever.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory and praise to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank
all
you,
Lord, right. Well, we ready to do the opening scripture now? We just got a really good start. So it is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. And I have it in the Amplified, but I'm not sure. Oh, there it is right there. Boy, I'll tell you. Thank you, Aaron, and thank you, Lord, for Aaron. And others who keep everything working well in the house. This is a most interesting verse of Scripture because before I mean, I know you're reading it now, but even before that, I got thinking about Paul's life, and he used to be Saul of Tarsus. And also on the thought of how one life can be so influential in the lives of others. And I want you also to be thinking about your life, because your life means something to somebody else. And so for the born-again, spirit-filled, no more Saul of Tarsus, but Paul, the apostle, he writes this: the things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things in daily life. And the God, who is the source of peace and well-being, will be with you. There's something here that the enemy could deceive you into thinking that it's pride if you were to speak those words out of your mouth concerning yourself. You know, Lorraine, you touched on that this morning about your friend and how God put this man into your life and what's happened as a result of that. But when Paul said, the things which you have learned and received in me, look at your life and think about all the people that your life has touched. And this is a Christian witness. It's about our walk. It's about our relationship with him. What have you learned? And how has that influenced others? What have you received? And how has that impacted your life and the life of others who come in contact with you? What have people heard about you and your life? And what kind of an impact or an influence has that made on their lives? What have they seen in your life that's made an impact, that you've been a vessel for the Lord to use you? What have people seen? Because I remember thinking, wow, he's a rather boastful fellow. He doesn't have any room to talk. Look at who he was like before he got saved. People trembled at the mention of the name of Saul of Tarsus. They knew what he was like. And so when I started looking into this verse, I was thinking about what did my life offer anybody before I was saved? Because in order to get the right context and the right way of presenting this is to think about your life before Christ and then afterwards, because we're not who we used to be. We still have the same earth suits, but the spirit is different. We have a brand new spirit. And so some thoughts about this. And the God, who is the source of peace and well-being, will be with you. when you're able to speak for yourselves individually, and if you were writing this letter, what would be in your spirit on the sending end? If you wrote a letter to people that you know and you made this statement, that's kind of where the Spirit is prodding us to realize the significance and the importance of each life from God's perspective, and how he will use anyone who is available and anyone who is willing for him to work through you. And when you finally realize how effective you are, right where you are, doing what you're doing, you'll have peace. Peace is the fruit of that. Because there's no struggling about it. There's no stumbling around, poking around in the darkness. Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, and I don't know this, and I don't know all those things. But when the Spirit of God is moving in your life, putting you in places with others, and you with them, they with you, your life can make a huge difference to somebody else. Your life is like a lamp. It's like a witness. It's like a flame that draws a moth to the flame. And so some notes. Paul is confident in his Christian faith. Number one. If anyone could be subject to having the devil put a guilt trip on anyone, it would have been him. And don't you think that when he got saved, that the enemy didn't come and say, "Oh, you used to put Christians in jail, and now you think you're one of them? Oh, you were there when they put the stones to Stephen. You think you're somebody now?" You don't think that he thought those thoughts? If you go to Romans chapter 7 and read the battles that Paul fought between his mind and his new spirit, you haven't fought a fight yet. These things are real. And the life, he says, he is confident in his Christian faith and the life that goes with it. It isn't always comfortable, is it? We would be fooling ourselves to think that everything about being a Christian and a believer and being free to live our lives as we do, it isn't always comfortable. There are people who are very opposed, but we still are required to love them. And it's a great testimony for others to look to as an example. Maybe you won't know all the people who looked to you as an example along the way, and how important that is. A lot of times people remember us for a bad example, and they're more apt to remember us for those times. But there are a lot of good things that you've done, that you've helped, that you've been there for someone, that you've prayed for somebody, and whatever gifts or skills or talents that the Lord has put in your life, they weren't there just for you. They were there for a lifetime. Because you haven't encountered all the people yet that God's going to run across your life. Because you're still here. You haven't stopped kicking yet. You haven't stopped breathing yet. One of the keys to Paul being able to say that is, I've really examined his life really, really closely. I've studied all the letters that he's written. A lot. I spend a lot of time because I want to know what made him tick. Because I wanted to glean out of that. Is there anything there that I can glean out of that that's going to benefit me? And one of the first things that I remember receiving from his writing is what was in his heart, what was behind the letters that he wrote, because that's what I was really looking for. One of the things is he was very disciplined about not letting his mind or his flesh override his Christian values and commitments. Because as long as we live in these earth suits, these bodies of flesh, we still have our five physical senses. They're very real. God gave them to us. They keep us out of a lot of trouble, but they can get us into a lot of trouble if we let them control our new life in Christ. They should be subject to Christ, to bring brought under authority of Christ. But we can all flip out. Sometimes we worry about our hair flipping out, but sometimes, you know, we can get pretty flipped out ourselves. Easily rattled, easily shaken. Discouraged, comes back to the word discouraged. But Paul passed those on. Where do you think he learned those things? Who were his teachers? He had them all thrown in jail. Who were the early people that he persecuted, had arrested, had them beaten for their faith? I'm sure that he didn't go back and say, "Hi, I'm Paul. Remember when I arrested you? I'm a Christian now. I'll let you out of jail." He spent literally his entire life that he had to live receiving, learning and receiving from the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that lived in Paul lives in us. There are things that you will learn that no person has taught you. You just know. You know that you know that you know. Don and I were talking this morning earlier, and I said, there's so many times I just never ask God why about anything. Ever since I was a brand new baby believer, I never asked him why. You know why? Because he always knows the right answer. Why should I ask him why he did this, why he did that? Because he's God. He'll never make a bad choice. He'll never make a bad decision. It's always right. So that, do you know how long that's? That's like 30 years of worry-free living. I don't have to get myself all tangled up in why God did this, why God did that, because he's always right. Simple. Move on. If you can learn that, he's always right about everything. Oh, how freeing that is. You can be like a little kid in your faith. People pull all their hair out wondering and fussing and arguing and why God did this, why God did that. Because he's right. It's the right thing to do. There's nobody else that could do it like him. And it says learned and received. This is really important. I can read about salvation. I can learn about being saved, but then not get saved. You see my friends in Bella Falls, some of my druggy band members got saved and tried to come and get me to play my drums with their Jesus music. And I said, nothing doing, you guys are all crazy. And years of my life went by. But you see, I learned about salvation, but I did not make the decision to receive it for myself until many, many, many years later. So learning is one thing, but receiving is another. I remember an incident where Peter was really upset about, as a new believer, he had this problem with all the Jewish dietary laws. Oh, you can't eat this critter, you can't eat that critter, you can't eat this, you can't eat that. And then remember, God lowered a sheet in a vision to Peter, and he said, everything on that thing is clean. And Peter, don't you ever call anything unclean, which I have cleansed. That'll set a lot of people free about what you eat, too. And Peter came away from that, and out of his mouth he spoke these words, for I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. That means whatever Paul did to learn, He will do for you. Whatever you've learned that comes from the Lord is for you. But learning to receive. When I said this morning, do you have your receivers on? We talked about discouragement, and I did that because I had wrote this note even before Don came in here this morning. I just sensed that in the atmosphere, discouragement, even before anybody came. And I put that over there because I was going to speak about it when the music got quiet towards the end, and if it hadn't surfaced in conversations, because I was certain that that word was to be, that we would talk about that today, so that people that are discouraged can receive from the Lord the strength that it takes to overcome discouragement, to receive encouragement in the face of discouragement. But you see, you gotta, it's like, oh, how can I demonstrate this? Oh, I have an idea. I have an idea. Marlene, if this was the cause of that bass buzzing on the controller, and I said, I bought an extra one of these a few months ago up in Lebanon, and I really think that'll make a big difference in how the bass sounds. And then I just go back here. But I want to give it to you. Now you've received it, and you can use that.
Thank you.
And it's the same with the word. God, out of the abundance of his heart and his desire to see us living, overcoming, winning lives over every situation in our lives. But we have to receive that. Well, that always happens to me. We say stuff like that. We get out of bed and say, oh, it's not going to be a good day today. I'm just thinking it's not going to be a good day. And so then your whole day goes about and you make a wreck of your day, and it's, see, I told you so. No, it's a great day. There's nothing wrong with every day because God made this day. He created this day for you. Are you going to receive it? Are you going to act like it's a great day? Oh, your flesh and your mind may tussle with that a little bit and say, well, it depends on what happens. As another example. This is fun. I enjoy this because it's right where we live. It's real, isn't it? I don't have to dress it all up and be fancy, because when Paul writes these things as a revelation by the Holy Spirit, it's because he's heard from the Lord. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So, if the Word says that we're winners and overcomers, God spoke those words by his Spirit. And we have the written record. Well, I don't feel like a winner. So what? Go win. But you got to go in to win. That's the true meaning of go in. Going, go in. And make a decision to undo some of these things. I have bad moments, but I make sure that I don't let it go the whole day. Because it can wreck everything. Let's see what else he said. Oh, we're more than conquerors. I'm using some scriptures that Paul wrote to the church. Do you think that just the Galatian believers were privy to those things? Do you think that the other six churches that he planted were privy to those, but not you? Do you see yourself the way God sees you? When he writes these words, and Paul was just bold enough to speak them, and we have the record of what he said? More than conquerors. Wow. Think of all the mighty men of valor over the years and generations past. Conquering armies. But you know what? We're in the Lord's army, and there is nothing. Hell itself will never stop the army of the Lord. We come under assault. We come under attack. But we're not going to roll over and play dead. Amen? So as you grow in your faith and in your walk in Christ, different people will notice changes in your life. So when Paul wrote, "What you have learned and received from me," I mean, I could ask you the same question. Faith and I have been here half of our lives. And what have you learned? What have you received? What have you heard and seen? Has it made a difference in your life? What would you testify to at my going home party? I could pretend to have one today. You know, this is what he's writing about. He's bringing to the churches. I'm about to be martyred for my faith now. What has my life done? What has there been in my life that's pointed you in the direction that you're going? And what difference has it made? You see, one day when we get to the land of glory, you're going to see people you never thought would make it. And it's going to be people looking at you and say, "How the hell did you get here?" Because that's how they'll speak. Oh, I'm just bubbling inside with how our lives really do matter. And they just do, because God made us to be that way, as a light. Learned and received. Oh, yes, I learned the importance of water baptism. I had that all explained to me. But I'm afraid of the water. Well, would this drown you? Only if I waterboarded you, like the CIA. You know, there are ways. But the thing of it is to learn something, but having not received it. Let's see what else. Oh, I learned about the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah, I learned a lot about the Holy Spirit. But I've not received him for myself. And you don't think there's people that are like that? They are. They really are. And I'm just being honest and truthful about this, because these are some soul-searching things in this one verse of Scripture. I've been thinking about this all week. I've had a lot of time to think about this, even when I think I'm not doing anything. Last night, I don't know, an hour maybe before I went to bed, I went in my little office at home and said, "Oh, I have to write down this phrase. I just got some more for tomorrow's opening scripture. I need to go write it down now before I forget to bring it." And because all the time the Spirit is speaking, but we let life get in the way and mute his voice sometimes. It isn't, we don't do it intentionally. It's just part of living. And then another interesting verse, Hebrews 10:36. "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." You might receive the promise. And the word "might" is optional. You may or you may not, but at least make the effort. When you read in your devotions, don't just do it to memorize what it says, because you're good at remembering these things, but take the promise and receive it for you. All the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. Have you dug through all 8,000 of them and claimed them for yourself yet? Do you know how long it would take to do all that teaching, who you are in Christ, and all the scriptures that talk about being in Christ? There are more than 8,000 verses of scripture to talk about in him, in Christ. Books written about that. so that you really, really, really know. Not just for the knowledge, but to win the battles of life. And here I come down to the end. Yes, finally. What if people heard about us as a church, as a fellowship? I really don't know. If it's not good, I don't listen. Well, I mean, I don't receive. I receive very constructive criticism. I'm not so perfect that I can't handle that. What do we mostly talk about in here? If you were a visitor today and you had an opportunity to speak, what did being here mean to you today? What happened while you were here? What did you receive? What will you take home with you later when you leave? Because you see, it's really important to me personally that if you come here one time and you go, I want to make sure that you're going to hear something that if you'll take that, receive it, and apply it, it'll work everywhere you go for all the rest of the days and years that you live. There'll be one thing at least that you can go home with and say, I'm really glad I went today, and I'm not going back there, but I remember this. I remember that person said that. The love. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and it's not a love that you can fake. You know, that's like Shallow Hal, the movie Shallow Hal, you know. But it's real. And we, it's not our love, it's his love in us. Because that's the constant in all of that. One more thing. What have they seen in our life that one might desire to experience? Because that's what, to me, that's what drew me. I mean, the Spirit of God drew me, but it was something about another person's life that made me want what they had, but I didn't know how to get it. Because I had rejected people that told me many, many years previous. And so, your life, I just want you to know today, not in a pride way, but a real beautiful, thankful way for what the Lord has done in your life and who he's made you to be and who you'll continue to grow and know that your life is in his hands and he doesn't give up on anybody. We can give up on him, but he'll never give up on us. And I leave that with you because it's really important. And if this is the only time we have for the scripture today, we just had it.